interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
First time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of
Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Hey, welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Hey, listen to this story from Russia. A man was partying with his friends, got so drunk that he passed out. They thought he was dead. Called authorities. Authorities came to the house, declared the man dead, brought him to the morgue, and they say he woke up in the middle of the night, confused and frightened about being locked in a cold room filled with dead bodies. He banged on the door until cops finally, fortunately, came and let him out. They say, amazingly, the man did not go home immediately, officials said. Instead, he went back to the party place, the place where the booze fest had happened, knocked on the door, found his friends inside, literally mourning his death. One of his buddies fainted upon seeing the Walking Dead zombie, but quickly the somber gathering turned into a huge celebration, and now you truly know what it means to be dead drunk. Well, thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Mr. Sam the Animal Steele. Good evening, Sam.
Roar. Hear me roar. Did you ever know me when I was a drinker?
No, I've only heard horror stories about that period of your life.
That story just, you know, to me, it was like, I could see
it
that.
It was like,
I could see
like
that
a
happen.
Blurry memory.
Yeah.
Well, now, investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop, you're a woman who knows how to hold her liquor, right, Shelley?
Well, yeah, hanging out with you, I had to learn, right?
It is impressive, I must say. For anybody who knows me knows that I don't know if I'm part Russian or certainly there's some Irish in there, but I have no problem withstanding, however you want to call it, insane amounts of alcohol from time to time. And Shelley, you do a pretty darn good job of keeping up with me, and you do so while maintaining a lot more sanity than the average person.
Thank you.
Shelley doesn't really get crazy, you know?
I don't know. according to that YouTube video he sent us earlier tonight, apparently because I am a redhead, I am in a danger zone with strippers and chicks who stick rabbits in pots.
Huh. Yeah. You got to watch this video, Sam. A friend sent this to me. It's a YouTube video about what is called the Hot Crazy Index.
Yes.
And basically a sort of a tactical, logistical-minded guy was able to sit down and put together a graph. And basically, if you're looking at the graph in terms of women, he figured out that there is a certain relationship between the degree of hotness, that means attractiveness, and the degree of craziness, right?
The hot crazy index.
The hot crazy index, yeah. So basically, you know, for the most part, the hotter she gets, the crazier she is. And so there are certain zones, however, in there that are kind of like sweet zones where you can handle this level of hotness with this level of craziness.
I think there's a lot to be said for that. I mean,
oh yeah, well,
I took it to mean I was like untouchable, and I was like, wait a minute, where is that? Why am I not in this little place over here? Why am I not hot date material or wife material? I'm just in danger zone with poor little bunnies.
She got
tossed and
right
what was
into
it?
The,
women named Tiffany or something?
What'd you get? The Fatal Attraction Bunny Killer?
Yes, she actually is in that group.
I did. I would be slightly offended, but it was pretty amusing.
And just to be fair, at the end of the video, I'm assuming you watched the whole thing, Shelley.
Oh, yeah, I watched the whole thing.
He gave the dude ratio for you ladies out there. And that one was much, much simpler and, I think, very highly accurate.
It was
so,
cuteness to money ratio, I think it was.
Yeah.
If you aren't cute and you have no money, you cannot play.
I was going to say, is there something in there about, like, you know, for myself, like a good-looking guy and genius?
No. Genius doesn't matter.
Yeah, you know, genius was not part of that.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's a
It's
bummer.
Just cuteness and money and wealth, yeah. So, yeah, look up the Hot Crazy Index, but I sent you a link to it. Maybe we'll put a link to it on speakingofstrange.com.
You should do it, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, what a show. And, you know, it's kind of fitting because I think this might actually end up being our last news show before Valentine's Day. Just because, you know, I'm about to go off on this big, you know, almost month-long journey across North America and back, which, of course, is primarily so that I can speak on the Conspiracy cruise that leaves from Los Angeles on January 24th. And, of course, I don't know if there's any space left, but even if the seats are or there's the spaces are all taken, sometimes they get canceled at the last minute, so you might still want to check that out. If you go to joshuapwarren.com. But, you know, we had our show last week, guys, which was our first show of 2016. It was also our 13th anniversary show. We had a lot to catch up on, and it was also an unusual show because C. Eric Scott was here. He's gone now, and we were working on finishing up this movie.
The Commandant.
So, yeah. And so last week, I didn't really get to sort of set the tone for the new year. And so I'm hoping that on tonight's program, I can do that. Now, let me tell you how I think we should approach this year. Tonight, during hour number two, we are going to talk about one of my absolute favorite topics, and that is amazing coincidences. And I'll tell you why I like that topic so much. It's because that, you know, it doesn't matter if you believe in destiny. It doesn't matter if you believe in God. It doesn't matter if you believe in life after death. It doesn't matter if you believe in the paranormal or any of that stuff. Nobody can deny the power of these incredible coincidences that you sometimes hear about. And I think everybody has either these things happen in their lives or they glimpse a part of these things happening. They may be happening all around us all the time, but we just only get to see a little, you know, a limited perspective, and so we don't understand what's happening. But the cool thing is, when you look at some of these stories of amazing coincidences, it seems to suggest that there is some kind of structure to life, that there is some kind of larger meaning here, some kind of more vast organization. And however you explain that, wherever it comes from, doesn't matter. It just seems like there's something there that cannot be merely explained away as how random pieces might fall into place given the laws of nature that we understand. And I think that that can be a very inspiring concept, as it is for me, or it can also be terrifying and kind of eerie, especially if it deals with death. It kind of reminds me of this idea, you know, a lot of people say, like, hey, when it's your time to go, your time to go. Like, there's nothing you can do about it.
The final destination theory.
Yeah, that can be very unsettling to people if you look at it from that point of view. On the other hand, well, what if, you know, you are within a structure that is just darn determined that you're going to have some wonderful and magical things that happen in your life? And there's this question of, like, how much freedom do you have? It's that classic philosophical freedom and determinism. You know, how much is set in stone and how much can you influence it? So I think that if you're at very least aware of the fact that there is some kind of structure, some kind of an organization, then maybe if you're feeling right now for some reason like your year is getting off to a rocky start, and a lot of people are, Mercury's in retrograde.
The 25th.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you feel like things have just not been happening properly, and I mean, I've gotten off to a rocky start. I've had like a lot of mechanical problems. I ate a sandwich last week and got food poisoning. That was a lot of fun. And so if you're one of those people who's like, man, 2016 is getting off to a weird start, rest assured, this might help you to take a deep breath and look at the year ahead from a new perspective. So I'm going to tell you about some historic, incredible, undeniable, factual, amazing coincidences. And I'm also going to tell you about some coincidences that I have experienced in my own life so that, you know, I'm giving you some direct, you know, personal testimony as well. And who knows, maybe you guys, Sam and Shelley, have some amazing coincidence that you can think about that you might want to bring up hour number two as well. I don't know it, but I've got plenty to talk about, that's for sure. Okay, we're coming up on our first break. When we come back from this break, I have a story here about what Hillary Clinton, that's right, Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, has said regarding UFOs and ET and how she will handle that subject if she becomes the president, okay? And there's a very good chance that, you know, she will be the president, so we'll have to hold her to what she says. I'll tell you about that, and gosh, so much more. It's a great show tonight. We have tons of content, and it's going to fly right by. So we're delighted you've chosen to spend your evening with us. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show is presented by Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville, North Carolina. If you don't have this on your fridge already, write the number down to Wright's Coin Shop, 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Up on the stairs, we spoke of was and when, although I wasn't there. He said I was his friend, which came as some surprise. I spoke into his eyes. I thought you died alone, a long, long time ago. find my way back home. I searched for fallen land. For years and years I roamed. I gazed a gazeless stare at all the millions here. We must have died alone a long, long time ago.
Yeah, broadcasting from Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky, and hosting from the middle of the Bermuda Triangle, Puerto Rico, I'm Joshua P. Warren, the Wizard of Weird, and this is Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville, North Carolina. And let me remind all of you, if you go to speakingofstrange.com, you can find a live chat during the show, regular updates on weird news around the world, more information on topics discussed. You'll find podcasts there of shows going back for years you can listen to for free. We're also on iTunes. The correct link for the iTunes is there because we actually have two iTunes accounts. One is for really, really old stuff, and then there's a second one for newer stuff. It's a long story. And you'll find links to things like not only Wright's Coin Shop, but the Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours. And yes, the Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours are indeed running through the winter. In fact, it's a great time to go because there is often more electrostatic activity, which seems to enhance ghostly phenomena. Before we move on, of course, that bumper bringing us back in was by David Bowie. And as you probably know, David Bowie passed away recently from cancer. And, you know, over the past 13 years, I have often played a David Bowie song for bumper music. So tonight, in tribute to his work and just to show you how diverse it really was, in case you didn't realize, we're going to play all David Bowie songs for the past, for the next, for the first 2 hours of the show. And it's all good stuff. So his talent will certainly be missed, but it's always nice to know when somebody like him passes on that we will be able to enjoy his music and his work forever. Here's a story that a lot of people are buzzing about. It's a story about Hillary Clinton's reaction to a question regarding the UFO phenomenon. She has made what some are calling eyebrow-raising remarks. She had a meeting with the editors of the Conway Daily Sun in New Hampshire, and a reporter asked what she thought about the UFO phenomenon. Now, let me pause by saying, isn't that great? It's nice to know we've reached a point when a mainstream reporter who has an opportunity to talk to a serious presidential candidate, and even if she doesn't win, I mean, gosh, there's no telling what she knows, being a senator and a secretary of state and a first lady, and you know she's got a long list of achievements. But it's great that a mainstream reporter would take an opportunity to ask her a question and use it to ask her about UFOs. And it says here she replied, quote, "I'm going to get to the bottom of it," end quote. Now, let me pause here because, you know, Bill Clinton has also brought up UFOs, and he has said that when he became president, the first thing he did was try to figure out what the real story was behind UFOs and the Kennedy assassination. And he claims that he didn't get very far with either one of those because everybody knows that the president's only going to be the president for 8 years. They come and go, and you don't, you know, if you just stall them enough, basically, you don't have to tell them anything. And you can certainly do that when it comes to these deeper, you know, black ops types of projects. So it says, according to the paper, now, look, this was posted on Coast to Coast AM, so I'm assuming this is true. According to the paper, she also said about ETs, quote, I think we may have been visited. We don't know for sure, end quote. Wow. If that is true, that is amazing. Says Clinton credited her campaign chairman, John Podesta, for urging her interest in the topic, which would make sense because it is true. John Podesta has been one of the people who has been trying to push for more disclosure on this topic for a long time. Clinton supposedly said, quote, he has made me personally pledge we are going to get the information out one way or another. Maybe we could have, like, a task force to go to Area 51, end quote. Gosh, you know, this, I'm reading it, and yet I'm having trouble believing it. What do you guys feel the same way? I mean, what do you think, Sam?
I mean, from what she said, she's like, we may have been visited, but I don't know. What did she really say?
Well, the very fact that she would say anything potentially revealing, you know, about the UFO phenomenon. I mean, usually presidents would just say, like, look, or candidates or whatever would say, I don't know. What I do know is the economy needs to be improved. And
I don't know,
clean
but
up.
What I do know is that my grandparents were immigrants. And I love America.
I'm just a caveman.
I was frozen.
Here's what I do know. When a man buys a chicken. We'll see. I mean, I have always thought that when you actually get elected president and they give you your first briefing, they kind of sit down and they show you this is a Bruder film over and over and over in slow motion and say, you do what we tell you. Any questions? You know?
I just read somewhere today, it was like, man, the first 5 minutes of being president are probably awesome. And then the next 10, where you find out who the 9 people are who run the entire universe.
Yeah.
And like, then you're like, oh my God. And then like everything hits you and it's like, I don't. Did you see Seinfeld on Colbert the other week?
Uh-uh.
Where, no. He did like a 5 minute stand up set and it was really funny. And also on the panel that night was Rand Paul. And he was like, yeah, I met him backstage. He's a nice guy, but he's crazy. It's like, who would want, who has the audacity to think that they deserve that job? They're like, you know what, honey? I think I'm going to be the most powerful man in the universe. I deserve to be president. And it was really funny, like a good, interesting point. Like, who thinks that they should be that? It's kind of a lot of hubris.
Well, I'll tell you something else that is very sad. I believe that, unfortunately, we have allowed a system to develop that deters qualified people from seeking office.
Oh, yeah.
And that's because the media now is no holds barred. They will go after any little dirty thing that you've ever done in your life.
Could you imagine if you or I tried to run for anything?
You couldn't get dog catcher.
No.
Uh-uh.
And the funny thing is we ought to be able to, because the fact of the matter is all throughout history, every single person who has held office, I mean, going back to the founders of this country, they've all had dirty little deviant nasty things that they've been into and they've been up to.
What? Thomas Jefferson was into deviant things?
And in fact, those were often, you know, just part of doing politics. I mean, like Benjamin Franklin, you know, in the Hellfire Club, rolling around with prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody would have dared bring that up in a public sense. And even, you know, President Kennedy, when people talk about the amount of women that Kennedy was sleeping with on a regular basis, apparently they were not exaggerating. I mean, if you really look into the history of that and what has been documented, I mean, it looks like he.
Yeah, I had heard some things about Bobby, you know, being like, look, John, I know you're the president and all, but you got to pull it back, son. Like, you know,
yeah,
his own brother. I'm like, look, man, this is not going to work out well.
Okay, we're up on a break. When we come back. Well, for one thing, speaking of this UFO stuff, I've talked about Bob Lazar, who was the Area 51 whistleblower back in, I guess, the early 90s. Well, he said that there are some new elements yet to be discovered that are going to help us understand how this extraterrestrial technology works. Well, guess what? Four new elements, they say, have been discovered. I'm going to tell you about that. And also another, well, perhaps discovery related to some of Albert Einstein's work. It's getting good, my friends. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird, keeping you company tonight, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. It's called Speaking of Strange.
Can't keep my eyes from circling sky. Tongue-tied, twisted, just an earthbound mystery.
Yes, the show for the unusual becomes usual. Going out to high strangers around the globe. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and you are listening to Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. And now remember, the number to Wright's is 828-298-5402. And there is a link for you at speakingofstrange.com. Last year, I spoke for the second time at the International UFO Congress, and it is now held in Scottsdale, Arizona. And really the big highlight of that event was having, for the first time and probably the last time ever, Bob Lazar agree to sit down on stage and be interviewed by George Knapp, the reporter from Las Vegas, who also, of course, is a guest host on Coast to Coast AM. And George Knapp interviewed Bob Lazar and it was, I think, an hour long, and it was riveting. It was, I mean, you couldn't find a seat in the room. It was standing room only. And Bob Lazar was talking about, you know, how that he was hired to work at Area 51 and the technology that he saw. And I won't get into that story again because I gave a complete overview of this story last year. It's on the podcast at speakingofstrange.com. You can scroll back through and you can find it and you can listen. But one of the things that Bob Lazar has been saying for over 20 years now is that there are new elements out there that humans haven't discovered or acknowledged yet. And so it's always really interesting when we have a discovery like the one that has been reported by The Guardian. Four new elements have been added to the periodic table, finally completing the table's seventh row and rendering science textbooks around the world instantly out of date. The elements discovered by scientists in Japan, Russia, and America are the first to be added to the table since 2011. The four were verified on the 30th of December, just days ago, really, by the U.S.-based International Union of Pure and Applied Chemistry. And that's a global organization that governs chemical nomenclature, terminology, and measurement. They say these new elements can be named after a mythological concept, a mineral, a place or country, or a property or a scientist. All of these four new elements are synthetic, and they were discovered by slamming lighter nuclei into each other and tracking the following decay of the radioactive super heavy elements. Now, like many of these other super heavy elements at the end of the periodic table, they only exist for fractions of a second before decaying into other elements. And, you know, when a new element's discovered, everybody says, oh, okay, what can you do with it? And the answer is, we don't know yet. We can assume, whatever that's worth, that if we have been able to create it in our little dinky man-made laboratories, well, it's out there already in the universe somewhere. It's always been there. What's it doing out there? We don't know yet. Now that we know it's out there, we'll start looking for it. And that shows you, again, how this process of scientific exploration works. As Carl Sagan so fondly said, it's like holding a candle in the dark. You get to see little glimpses of what's around you, but the candle's not big enough to show you the big picture.
Wouldn't it be funny if all those scientists were underwritten by Scholastic?
Why would that be funny?
Because all the textbooks, you just said, are obsolete.
Oh.
So they have to sell new textbooks all over the world to every student who makes the textbooks Scholastic.
It's another little conspiracy. Mm. Good work, Sam.
Thank you.
I think we should light a fire under their behinds. Let's get them on the show and make them tell us that they're not behind this. Listen to this one. This is even more interesting, though. Excited rumors have been circulating on Twitter that a major experiment designed to hunt for gravitational waves has actually observed them directly for the first time. Now, let me explain what a gravitational wave is. This is a ripple in the fabric of space-time, first predicted by Albert Einstein. So they say if you move a large mass very suddenly, or you have two massive objects that suddenly collide, like a supernova exploding or something, you create ripples in space-time a lot like tossing a stone in a still pond. And the more massive the object, the more it will sort of churn the surrounding space-time, and the stronger the gravitational waves will be. Einstein predicted the existence back in 1915 of these waves, but he thought it would never be possible to test the prediction. Well, guess what? Now we have what's called LIGO. This is an acronym Interferometer Gravitational Wave Observatory. So basically what they're doing is they're shooting lasers out there, and they can get incredible precision in terms of seeing how light is affected. And they say they have finally observed these ripples in gravity. Now, what that means is if you can actually start seeing gravity in a new way, well, then maybe you'll understand a new property about how it works. And what happens when you understand how gravity works? You might be able to create anti-gravity. And when you can create anti-gravity, well, then you can basically bend and manipulate the entire universe. You can travel all over the universe much more easily. You might even be able to travel through time. You might be able to create artificial gravity that will allow you to produce a sustainable biosphere for humans. I mean, if we get gravity nailed, we are we're ahead of the game.
You're not talking about biosphere, the Pauly Shore vehicle, are you? I'm sorry, it was biodome. Biodome.
Yeah. But even though, who knows, Pauly Shore may be on the cutting edge. We underestimated
Pauly Shore would be affected by the discovery of anti-gravity.
I imagine so. But we might even be able to go back in time and kill his mother so that he would never be born. Kind of like a Terminator phenomenon, right?
John Connor. Sarah Connor.
No, who would do that, right? Who doesn't
well,
love Sky, Pauly
Shore? Skylab would.
I joke, Pauly Shore.
I saw him at the Atlanta airport one time. And I was,
really?
Yeah, I was terribly excited. I was like 20 or so. I was like, Pauly Shore. Oh, son of Mitzi Shore, founder of the Comedy Store in Hollywood. Yeah.
Okay. And listen to this story. Now, this has been verified by multiple sources. Weird metal balls continue falling to Earth all over the place, but right now they're concentrated on Vietnam. They say that they're flaming objects that weigh about 99 pounds. They have at least three of these that they've collected. People see more of them, but they've actually found three of them, and these three fell near a stream. It says here that the lightest one, this is another one, landed in a neighboring region, and it only weighed about 9 ounces. It came down on a nearby roof before rolling onto the ground. Local people reported hearing what sounded like thunder in the minutes before the objects were found. An initial investigation by the Vietnam Defense Ministry has determined they think the objects may be some kind of components of a compressed air or fuel tank from a rocket or something, but they really have no idea what they are. So, these particles have been reported now over the past year falling all over the place. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I have a story here from the UK, and wait till you hear what a guy got in the mail after he ordered a Kindle from Amazon. It was not a Kindle. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the downright weird, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. It's called Speaking of Strange.
Shaking when nothing is killing, just pictures of trapped girls. in synthesis, and I ain't got no money, and I ain't got no hands. Something is getting me from my blood. But I'm hoping to kick, but the glad it is glowing, 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 glowing. Ashes to ash and fuck to fuck it. We know Major Tom's a junkie, strung out in heaven's high.
The final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville, North Carolina. Again, the number to Wright's is 828-298-5402. 828-298-5402. And coming up next hour, well, I'm going to try to help you set the tone for the new year, because we are going to dig into one of my favorite topics, amazing coincidences. Now, these are stories that are all true. I'll even tell you about some personal experiences that I have had that seem to demonstrate there is some kind of incredible structure or organization to the world, to the universe. And however you explain that, it doesn't really matter. It just seems to be there, and it seems to work a certain way. And we're going to explore that a little bit together, because I think if you bear that in mind, the rest of your year can go much more smoothly. Because I think that if you understand that there are connections between everything, and you keep an eye out for those connections, when you see them come together and you follow those connections, then they will lead you on a path that will make more rewarding things happen to you in your life this year. So bear that in mind. But here are a couple stories I want to share with you. One is from the UK. A man ordered a Kindle. As you know, that's primarily an e-book reader, but now you can watch movies and all kinds of things. Instead, he received a patient's tumor sample. Man said he opened the FedEx package the box was in, and it was marked as patient tumor, specimen enclosed. The 37-year-old man said it came from an address in California, and it was supposed to go to the Royal Free Hospital in London. He said, when I opened it, I had quite a shock. And it doesn't say exactly what he saw in there, but it was a courier mix-up. Okay. I tell you what, I received a package, by the way, the other day that was sent to me by a friend. It was a box, and when I got the box and opened it, all the contents had been stolen and replaced with catalogs. And you can imagine what a shock that was. I think somebody in the Postal Service may have done it. So I'm following up on that.
I just got a package the other day. I got a letter or a call from my apartment complex. Like, hey, we were cleaning out the package closet, and we found a package. I was like, well, that's cool. I was not expecting one. And I got in there. It was from September. And apparently it had fallen, you know, like between the cracks, so to speak. And it was a book that I ended up having to go through this whole rigmarole with a guy on eBay about because I was like, it never showed up. And he's like, yeah, it got lost. And so he ended up having to refund me. Now I feel bad. But, like, it was from September.
These shipping services are just getting awful. They really are. Let me squeeze in one last story before we go to break. This is from, get ready for it, Shelley, Crystal River, Florida. Good job. Officers responded to a 911 call there the other day. A 3-year-old boy was found driving a motorized toy truck on a Florida highway. Says when officers got to the scene, several vehicles had formed a blockade around the child who was sitting behind the wheel of the toy big rig in the median of the highway. He had traveled about 500 yards to get to the highway, cutting through neighbors' yards. The child had not been struck or harmed. A good Samaritan used a blanket, covered the toddler who was only wearing a shirt and diaper, since temperatures were around 52 degrees.
Unlike the rest of the Floridians, he was following the traffic laws properly, though. He was in the right lane.
And I bet you he was heading somewhere a little more sane than Florida. We're going to take a break. I'm Joshua P. Warren. The night show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. When we come back, amazing synchronicities and coincidences on Speaking of Strange.